gentlemen, thank you for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. Now here are your hosts, Bela Page and Alex Alvin.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I am Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Boothman. Guys. For those of you who don't live in New York, boy, trains, huh?
How about that?
You guys don't care about that, but the trains went crazy. Something happened. So,
Justin's not here. Well, Justin died.
Yeah, Justin died.
That's why all the trains are messed up?
Yeah. That's our go-to, I feel like. Whenever one of us isn't here, they died.
Yeah,
and then they cut back the next
week. Well, it works in comic books. Why not on Comic Book Club?
Yeah, we got to get... damage control on those trades, Pete.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah, it's like Atlantis attacks out there.
I had a dream that I threw Justin in front of a train.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That's horrible.
That's a very specific dream that actually happened. Guys, I'm very excited about the guests that we have on tonight's show. One of them is a comedian at UCB. The other one is the creator of The Only Living Boy. Ladies and gentlemen, Winston Noel and David Gallagher.
Yeah.
Excited to be here.
Long time listener, first time guest.
David, I'm not going to steal your bag.
Yeah.
You're kind of like my grandmother right now.
Well, I'm just saying that Pete had a dream that he pushed Justin in front of the train.
Yeah.
So, you know,
here,
if you've got
It's on.
Yeah, if you've got one murderer, you might be a thief. You
or
might be a
several murderers.
You feel like your bag's going to save you?
It might.
Because it's not!
Thanks, Boothman.
Yeah.
So your grandmother also doesn't trust you? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, well, with good reason. But we're not here to talk about that. Let's talk about comics. Winston, actually, let's start with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
comics.
So we were chatting about this a little bit before the show. You, like a lot of us, started out reading comics and then stopped reading comics. Why did you stop reading comics?
Here's what happened. I know this sounds – it's going to sound really dumb, but I went to – I was in like fifth grade. I started reading –
Sounds dumb already.
So bad.
Yeah, who goes to fifth grade?
I was an idiot fifth grader.
We all dropped out.
Yeah.
Oh, no way, yeah?
Yeah.
Everybody here?
So
yeah, everybody here?
We all went to the same fifth grade.
Oh, wow. No, but I started reading comics in like fifth grade, and I had to go – I would go to the comic book store with my mother.
Do you remember what it was called?
It was called
His
Oxford
Mom?
Books. It was in Atlanta, Georgia.
Do you remember what your mom was called?
Great comic
shop. I just felt so embarrassed to have my mom there. They were like they would have like cardboard cutouts of like anime scantily. I just felt very uncomfortable.
So it was a burgeoning sexuality.
It was like stirrings. Well, yeah. Yeah. Whoa. Is that too early or too late? I would go in fully erect. I would waddle in with my huge erection, my mom behind me, and then for some reason I just didn't want to be there anymore.
I'm glad your mom wasn't in front of you.
That would have been super weird. No, but I just kind of stopped. I loved Batman the Animated Series. Watched the hell out of that. Watched X-Men, Spider-Man, all the DC animated stuff, and then got back into it.
What got you back into it? Was there a specific title?
It was weird.
Mom stopped looking at your boner?
Yeah. I became impotent, and that solved it.
Mom was like, time to go back to the comic book shop.
No, I had a coworker that I worked with, and we were chatting one time. He was a big comic fan, and he was like, oh, you got to get back into it. And he gave me Long Halloween.
Ooh.
And I was like, holy shit. And then I got back into it.
Holy shit.
I just started devouring, and so... Yeah, so now I'm back. I'm back in the game!
Long Halloween's really just a euphemism for boners, by the way.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy how many of those characters
have boners.
Long boner. Yeah.
I like to dress up my boner every Halloween. What do you dress up your boner as? Pete.
The Hulk.
A penis.
Yeah, it's boring.
What I dress mine up as Mr.
Place?
Freeze.
Oh,
I put
Mr.
a little
Freeze?
Dome on it. I color it blue, the head blue, and I put a glass dome on top of it.
Oh, man, I'm just trying to bring Nina back to life.
Yeah.
Nina, right?
We need to have girls in the show, so we're not always assholes.
I don't think so. David, let's chat with you. So you just, is it self-published a book?
Not quite self-published, but yeah, we created our own created our own comic or entertainment company. And so we developed, I don't want to say self-published, but, you know, this is the first of many projects we're developing through our new entertainment company.
Bottled Lightning?
Yes, Bottled Lightning.
Yeah, so this is the entertainment company you started. It's you, it's Steve Ellis. We've, for those of you who haven't listened, you've been on the show a bunch of times before.
Yeah, you
And you guys have done a bunch of projects together. Why take the leap to doing your own company?
I think it's just a natural evolution of Steve Ellis and I have been working together for 5 years and just made it easier both for tax purposes, when you get a really large check and be like, oh, this is a check for six figures. How do we divide this up?
You get checks for six figures?
Yes.
Wow.
That's bananas. Yeah.
There's a decimal point in there. Don't worry.
This is six figures. This is $6.
Yeah.
It's six, five decimal. 50.
It's actually just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oh, okay.
It's very, very simple.
Yeah.
And by figures, I mean action figures.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Wow. Either way, you're rich.
Yeah, either way. So
how
when you get
you
when you get those
check. Okay, never mind.
You draw very well.
Right, you just draw a picture of Iron Man.
Or you crazy glue the figures, actual action figures, onto the checks. And be like,
anyways.
It's a six-figure check.
Pete. Way to go, Pete.
Pete, famously known as the guy who keeps things moving along.
Yeah, famously.
So it just became a natural evolution in terms of our writing process and our creative process in order to sort of both protect ourselves legally and to protect our creative properties, just to bring everything in-house.
A natural revolution of you know, owning the rights
it's,
to yourself.
Yeah, that's right. Or a natural prohibition.
All right.
That would work, too. Let's talk about your comic book, The Only Living Boy. So I read it. I thought it was great. But what's the basic idea? What's the pitch?
The pitch is the high concept is like it's a Wizard of Oz for boys. Without sounding super sexist, it's more
more boners.
More boners. It's the story of it's the story of a 12-year-old boy who runs away from home, falls asleep under a big rock, wakes up in a patchwork alien world where there's tons of different worlds all pieced together, and he has to piece together his memory while piecing together a new life for himself.
Wow, that's got to be hard at 12 to piece shit together.
It's hard now.
Yeah.
It's hard when you're walking into a comic book store with a big old boner.
Yeah, but it's got
together.
Yeah, it's got mermaid warriors and insect princesses and chimerical dragons and crazy madmen scientists and gladiatorial arenas and tri-headed monsters.
I'm on board. That sounds amazing.
Yeah. And again, I thought it was great. It's an oversized first issue that's available, I assume, through your website, through Bottled Lightning.
Yeah, it'll be in comic book shops later in the year, but right now it's available digitally at our website and at our theonlylivingboy.com.
Yeah. So, what are the challenges when you're releasing the comic book by yourself? What do you got to do? What's the legwork like?
I think the first is lining up your distributors. Then it's building an individualized relationship with each of them. Like, we're doing micro-distribution for Only Living Boy, wherein we're working with not just individual comic shops, but networks of comic shops to carry the book in-house. And then working with Diamond and working with Comixology, iBooks, iTunes, Apple, Kindle, Nook. And sort of making it more available through broader distribution channels than just strictly comic books.
Wow.
So it's lining up all those resources.
That sounds hard, man.
Yeah. Lots of work.
You should give up, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, just give up. Yeah, just give up.
Yeah.
Give up. What?
With our what we found with High Moon.
I'm sorry. You're acting like we could actually convince him. Yeah.
This is it. He's like, you're right.
I haven't really thought about that. Yeah.
Oh, he left.
No.
He left.
What did we do?
No. What we found with High Moon, which was our first...
was fantastic.
Thank you. It was our Werewolf Western series. What we found is the readership over the course of 3 years was 2.5 million.
What?
Yeah.
People?
200... 2.5 million people from around the world read High Moon.
But again, it was 2 point and then five and then a million zeros after.
Yeah.
So it's actually two and a half people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Action figures. We get like 2.5 million people listening to our podcast, right?
No.
After 3 years. And then the readership of Box 13 after 26 weeks was 250,000. So what we had found is that by bypassing traditional channels, we were able to create a passionate readership that existed outside of comic stores. And The Only Living Boy is sort of that halfway point, trying to capitalize on that digital audience while still trying to bridge the chasm between the print audience.
Cool.
Wow, man.
So what's next? You have this first one out. You're going to, I assume, release one, I think you were saying, every quarter or so?
Yeah, The Only Living Boy is quarterly. It's every issue is between 48 to 56 pages.
Nice.
And then with Bottled Lightning, our studio, we're releasing a new book starting in January, a new book every month for 6 months. So we're doing a Sherlock Holmes-ish comic. We're doing a book called The Extinguished about Prometheus stealing fire back from mankind. Oh. And a book about a detective that works for the devil.
What? Oh, boy. Cool. Hopefully it's not very good. Otherwise, we're in trouble.
Yep. All right, guys. I think we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack. Yeah. All right. In the stack, we're going to highlight a couple of books that are either come out or came out this week. First thing we're going to talk about, Pete, I know you're on protest, so I'm curious to hear what you thought about this or are not going to say about this, but Before Watchmen, Rorschach, number one.
Rorschach?
Rorschach.
Oh, my God. That's it.
Rorschach.
He's a shark that wears a mask.
Well, it is Shark Week. No?
Wow.
No? Oh. No, not so much.
Shark Week?
Shock Week.
Shock Week.
Yeah.
You just came from
Boston,
right?
What?
You just came from Boston, right?
Yeah. Shock Week.
Shock.
No, that's not a Boston accent.
Shock Week.
I'll say, by the way, the entire time we were in Boston, thankfully, only up until the show, Justin was going around doing a terrible Boston accent.
it was insulting.
There was a guy who's driving us around everywhere, very, very nice.
The chauffeur?
With an actual Boston accent.
It was hilarious. Every time
And then
he opened
Justin
up his
was
mouth.
Doing his Boston accent. And Ike was sitting in the front seat with the guy, and he was just seeing him, like, silently stewing.
Yeah.
It was great. Anyway, that's how Justin died. What do you think about this book?
That's how Justin died. All right. Well, first of all, I don't think that's a word.
It's several not words.
I really like the – that's how I talk. The cover and Rorschach's face is a picture of Rorschach. And I was kind of hoping this would be kind of like that, you know, the infinity.
Wait, I'm sorry. Are you telling me?
The infinity wave?
Yeah, where it's like, no.
Yeah.
It just keeps on going and you see Rorschach inside of Rorschach inside of Rorschach.
Stand in two mirrors, right?
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
Yeah, not the first page, the third page, which is the first big splash page, is Rorschach's face in the clouds over New York City. It's a really cool page. And I will say, I know we talked about this a little bit last week.
We did.
Yes. But the art on these Before Watchmen books is great. And Lee Bermejo's art in his.
Yeah,
this
I mean, just
excellent.
As long as you don't mind the fact that this is bullshit. I mean, Before Watchmen. Fucking, are you kidding me?
As long as you're cool with that.
Yeah, as long as you're cool
with that.
Well,
what did you think about
this? The art's amazing. Just sell your soul and enjoy some art.
I don't.
I'm a detective for the devil.
Oh, I like your
is
dance.
Is that a plot? Before Watchmen?
Ta-da!
You ruined it. Thanks.
Yeah,
I'm writing
you,
it, by the way.
You read this book, right?
I did. I liked it. But if you can let me borrow this for a second. My favorite part of the entire book, and this is going to sound really mean, and it's not. It's more super nostalgia. Is that there's a big ad for the Shazam TV show, live action TV show on the back.
That's your favorite part about this book?
Well, it's because I'm a big retro nerd and I grew up with Shazam. I didn't grow up with Watchmen. I had Shazam sheets. I didn't have Before Watchmen sheets.
All right, I'm just saying there was
they're
a comic.
They're beautiful, by the way. The Before Watchmen sheets.
I suppose, full of
bed bugs, but beautiful sheets. Beautiful.
The Watchmen sheets, by the way, are just a big blue penis. That's it.
Mr. Freeze.
No, but, you know, I find that, so despite my crazy nostalgia for this
if you get
one
back,
ad,
yeah.
I think that the art in this book is really, really nice. I mean, I am one of these people, and this is kind of weird, because DC does this throughout their books now, is they put comic book-like ads inside the actual comic book.
Just to fuck with you.
Which really, I find, interrupts the reading rhythm of the story. But more than, and they don't just do it for like, leave your world into theirs, Converse shoes. Sorry, spoilers. There's an ad in this book that says that.
They
also do it, but they also do like these weird, like ninja kind of ads, and it really interrupts
four
the story.
Ninjas? They do ads.
Do you want to be a ninja?
American Street. Yeah, that's what it was. It's like American Street Ninja TV show, and like these.
Marvel does that too, though. They've been running those farmers ads.
I read the whole page, and I was like, "What is going on? Why is J.K. Simmons in this? Why is he so? What's he doing in the Spider-Man?"
I find that a very disturbing trend. But I mean, I'm not one of those people who enjoyed Watchmen, the original Watchmen, to begin with. But I do.
Whoa!
What just happened? What was
you
just said
that
out
so
loud?
Casually.
We're not talking about the movie, right?
I actually prefer the original Watchmen, the movie.
Well, I'm just trying to. They adapted the graphic novel to the movie.
I actually prefer
a lot
the
more
movie
words
to
what?
The.
What?
Today's opposite day. What's happening? My head's going to explode.
It's just I don't like the ending of the original Watchmen, and I prefer the ending of the Watchmen movie.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that's
all right.
I don't know what to say.
No, but I do feel like this material, I mean, I like it, but it really seems, I don't want to say disingenuous, but it just seems like a Xerox. It's like,
sure,
you got really great people. Here's a great example. It's like you guys saw Superman Returns, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Superman Returns.
I think it's the best Superman movie.
Fuck you. You fucking asshole. Shut the fuck up.
It's your favorite one.
Superman Returns.
It's the only one that really captured Superman on film.
Kill you.
But Superman Returns felt to me like it was a poor Xerox of the Christopher Reeves Superman films.
Yeah.
And that's what I get. That's what I get here. It's like they're not doing their own thing. They're doing something based on somebody else's work. It's not. I would much rather read a Darwin cookbook I would much rather read a cookbook by Darwin Cook. The Darwin Cook cookbook. But no, I'd rather read original material from these guys than stuff that is, I think, even more grotesque and more vile and more disreputable than the original Watchmen series. And that's not to take away from these guys. I think they're all very talented.
You got Brian Azzarello, who's an amazing writer.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, he does fantastic stuff.
He's great. I don't think he's doing his best work on these before Watchmen books. I had a chance to see some of the pencils and some of the work that they were doing before this. The work that Lee Bermejo does.
So you saw the work before Watchmen? Yeah. You're saying?
Yes. I don't even have a joke for that. I don't know what it is. But Lee Bermejo's pencils, I hope they release just his pencils at some point. It's not that the color is bad.
Like the actual pencils he uses?
Yeah. Like, number two pencils. Like
the mother hot.
Yeah. His pencils that he did for this book are superb. They're excellent. So I hope they release just sort of like a raw version of the book at some point. Yeah. Right. The storytelling that he does here, it almost doesn't need the words. In a way.
Yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think that visually all the books are amazing.
Yes. There you go. All right, we're going to do this every week, have this uncomfortable discussion. Let's move on. Next thing we're going to talk about another book that came out this week, Incredible Hulk number 12 from Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
Hooray. Yeah. All right. Pete, in this book, Hulk fights Wolverine and the Thing in an underground jail full of robots.
Whoa.
Pretty much nonstop. Sounds like it's right up your
alley. Sounds like it would be the greatest book ever made.
Written by Jason Aaron, you love.
Yeah, fantastic. Great. The weird part is like I've gotten to such a point of like nerdiness that I can't even enjoy myself anymore. Just because, like, the Hulk...
This is getting rapidly very sad.
Yeah, yeah. So Wolverine and Grimm are kind of walk in to go fight the Hulk, and they're
this
like...
This is Grimm from the TV show Grimm on NBC.
Right. Oh, fuck you. Ben Grimm, you asshole. Okay. Right?
All I'm saying is story time is over.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, look at that. Look, see?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Brilliant. Story time is over.
Yes. Yeah, Comic Book Club Live, brought to you by Grimm, now on NBC Friday night tonight.
No, that's not true.
That's not
don't,
true.
Don't plug up for that. No.
But if they want to give us money, Grimm, now on...
Do you think that someone's listening from there that's going to be like, send them a check?
The entire cast of Grimm, all they do is listen to our podcast on their breaks.
What I love about Grimm in the commercial is when she's like, do you see things nobody else sees? And like, that's it? She doesn't get any more specific? And he's like, I guess.
Well, she sees more than one thing. It's clobbering times.
Yeah, that's right. Clobbering times.
Anyways.
Oh, yeah.
So Wolverine and Grimm Towns are walking to go beat up the Hulk. And they're like, you know what? We're all friends. You know, this is going to be weird. And Grimm's like, you know what? Shorty, why don't you let me... do the talking here because we're close. And they just start beating the shit out of this guy. And there is a giant fucking, like, scorpion thing with needles sticking out of the Hulk's back. What happened, buddies? Like, if I started punching you and there was obviously a robot attached to my neck... fucking injecting shit, you know, hey, light should go off. Like, this isn't, you know, the Hulk's doing.
So you're saying you wanted 32 pages of the Hulk, no. Wolverine, and things sitting around and chatting about a robot?
Yeah, you know what? Yes.
I would read 32 pages of Thing and Wolverine, like, chatting before the fight, being like, ooh, how are you, how's it going? How are you feeling? I don't know. I feel
is your
like,
spandex riding a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit.
Here's the thing, Pete.
Good times
with
this guy.
If Alex and I, mm-hmm. and Winston,
yeah.
were to beat you up.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
and we saw that there were a lot of needles in your face and in your back.
Right.
We probably wouldn't take them out either.
Wow, yeah. That is cold. That's fucking cold. No, I do want them to fight. I do love fighting. I do love fighting in comics. But, like, give me a fucking little thing of, like, you know, make the scorpion invisible or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it doesn't fucking bother me.
Right.
I can't enjoy my own fucking comic book.
Yeah.
Because of this little bullshit.
Right.
I just want to enjoy it. Make it fucking green or something so you can't see it.
What,
so
Wolverine long. Can't see green?
I don't know, but
yeah.
Wolverine's
me.
Colorblind, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, what the fuck?
What a twist that would be if Wolverine was colorblind.
Oh, my God, like a real dog?
Yeah, that's his yeah, that's his weakness.
That's brilliant.
So right now he's a fake dog?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
A mutated Wolverine.
I will say, I kind of agree with you. That definitely passed through my mind. But at the same time, it's such a fun fight, and the dialogue is so fun.
Yeah.
And the plot of the book right now is that Bruce Banner, the focus is on the Hulk. If the Hulk
stay
gets
angry.
He has to stay angry, yeah. because if he gets calm, he turns back into Banner, and Banner is manipulating him to accidentally go on this treasure hunt to get him this stuff that at the end of this issue, spoiler, it's revealed he's come up with a cure for the Incredible Hulk. And so the cliffhanger at the end is he's on video and he's like, hey, Hulk, I got a cure for you. Now let's talk. And it's great. It's been building up really nicely. He's taken Hulk into outer space to fight robo grizzly bears.
Down
he's fought
with it.
Soviet grizzly bears. He's fought a city of Yetis. It's been a lot of fun so far, and I've really enjoyed it a lot.
But the biggest challenge for the Hulk? Hair growth?
Yeah.
Hair growth.
Oh, yeah. He's bald right
now. He's bald right now, and yeah. I don't know what to make. It weirds me out.
Hey! Hey! Yeah!
It's a wonderful
like
thing.
He's
no.
Yeah.
But it's
this
we
is a man who's entirely
it.
Covered in hair in the audience.
Right. Yeah.
No, it's for just those little... of you at home, there yeah. is a member of the audience who is bald. This has become very uncomfortable.
I'll say it right now. I hate bald people. I hate them all. Throw the gauntlet down.
The man who is bald in the audience is nodding and agreeing. All right, guys, let's move on to our last comic of the stack. Another comic coming out this week, Bloodshot, number 2 from Valiant Comics. Yeah!
Yay!
Now,
shot.
I don't know. I imagine most of you haven't been reading this comic, though the Valiant relaunch has been going pretty well so far. This is by Dwayne Szerzinski, who I love.
Heard of that guy.
Great writer. Love pretty much everything he does. The idea here that was set up in the first comic is there's this guy. I was telling you about this before the show. Guy, family man, gotten out of the army or special forces or whatever he's in. His buddy gets in trouble. He goes back for one last job.
One last mission.
Every time
just
I get
one
out.
Last mission.
On the way to the job, turns out he has special powers. He can shape change.
Whoa.
He can. He's a crack fighter. He has all these special powers.
Wait. He does crack.
He's saving
he's a crack
his,
fighter.
He fights crack. He does this whole rap in the middle of the issue about crack is whack. It's really good.
Yeah.
And he gets to save his buddy, and his buddy says, sorry, you're tricked, and shoots him in the head. And then he wakes up. Turns out he doesn't have any family. In fact, he's been programmed over and over and over with these many, many different families and many different scenarios to be manipulated, to be pushed in different directions. This mission, of course, he finds out about this. He's freed. He doesn't know what's going on. And that's where the setup is. Bless you, David, for the next issue. And now he's on the run from forces. He doesn't know what's going on. And he just keeps getting shot over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Pete, what do you think about this book?
It makes me feel like every day when I go into work, I wish they would just shoot me in the head.
This isn't your full-time job? This isn't your full-time job?
No, I wish it
was. His full-time job is being shot in the head.
It'd be a lot better. This is kind of a crazy twist, but what I really liked about this issue is, like, here's a guy who's trying to fight for what he thinks might be real, but it isn't. So it's kind of a fucked up thing to be rooting for. But what's really enjoyable is all the blood and the killing in this.
It feels like it feels like an 80s action movie. Naked guy just kicking ass constantly.
Talks in real short sentences. He's like, I need steak. Then like kills a cow and then he's like, I'm ready.
Yeah, it is.
It's fucking awesome.
No, it gets to the point. It's nuts. A lot happened in it.
It's a really good book. If you haven't been checking out the Valiant relaunch stuff, I definitely recommend you do, because pretty much every title across the board so far has been really, really good. Yeah, go ahead, David.
Editorially, I think they're very, very, very sharp, and they have a really great dedicated vision for each book. They're not just putting stuff out willy-nilly like, woo! No, they're really taking a lot of time to think these things through. And you can see it just in the art and in the storytelling and in the way each book has its own identity.
Yeah, it's what I like about it is it's very relatable. Like, no matter what, most people have a day job that they don't like, and they feel like every time you go there, a little piece of you dies every day.
Right. Yeah. And then you go out and eat an entire cow.
Yeah. And then your family's not real. Yeah. Your family was never real.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And then you go home and you're like, who the fuck are you? I'm your mom.
And this is
shut up, lady.
Yeah.
Let's go to the comic book store.
No.
And it's not rooted in nostalgia like the other, a lot of relaunches are. This is very clean entry point into this new universe.
All right, there we go, and that's it for the stack.
Yeah.
All right. Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to go over to Boothman.
Boothman. Hey. Welcome back, Boothman.
Welcome back.
Yeah, we missed you.
All right.
In Boston. So it's not really welcome back because we left.
Yeah, you guys literally left me.
You're really into semantics.
Yes.
Welcome back, Boothman.
So
let's
you guys
get the first question.
Done digging your hole?
Yeah.
Nope.
Okay.
Not for the past 5.5 years.
All right. First question. At the end of 2012, what will be a bigger movie, Avengers or Expendables 2? I think this is a valid question.
Yeah.
I think this is honestly a valid question.
Yeah,
with that
so?
Cast, like, it's pretty ridiculous.
It is pretty ridiculous.
Expendables the cast of Avengers, you're right.
Yeah, I mean,
we're biased,
though.
But I thought Expendables was amazing, and immediately afterwards, I was like, I can't wait for the second one.
Yeah, I will say, same thing. It's Expendables is a stupid movie, but
it's
on purpose stupid. It's just, if you watch any 80s action movie, barely makes any sense. There's no connective fiber. It's just like, hey, and here's a big gun.
Thundercats.
Enjoy. Love and that's it. Like Thundercats?
Yeah, Thundercats. You ever watch Thundercats?
You know,
there's like
that 80 action movie, Thundercats?
Yeah, it's like, it doesn't make any sense. Yep. And then all of a sudden it just ends.
I would say my favorite 80s action movie was Snorks. What do you think?
Yeah.
Gummy bears, dude.
Gummy bears.
Gummy bears!
Here's actually, I don't think it's going to be either Expendables or it's going to be Avengers. I think it's going to be Christmas Story 2 coming out in October.
No, you're lying.
I'm not.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Revenge of the Pole.
No, it's got the lamp. Right. The ad for the
don't forget
the
to drink your Ovaltine.
Oh, that's so sad.
The ad for it has the lamp, and it's an older, wiser.
I don't know. I don't know if that's actually coming out because that's been done by Warner Premiere that does the director DVD things. They announced Christmas Story 2, and the next day they announced that Warner Premiere was shutting down. So we'll see what happens. Yeah. Expendables 2 looks ridiculous. That trailer is just perfect.
Yeah.
Where what is it? Skulls spitting guns that turn into knives.
Yeah.
And then they just list everything. Yeah. And they list like 30 people in a row. They're like, oh, and also Bruce Willis, and then also Arnold Schwarzenegger, and also Sylvester Stallone.
Nicolas Cage is going to be in a third one?
Yeah.
That's the rumor. Oh, hell yeah.
The rumor right now is that the third Expendables might go to space. That's my
bad. Yes! Amazing. That would be so amazing. Yeah. I feel like with the Expendables logo, every tattoo artist was like, well, got to learn how to do this now. Skull and guns and knives.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. Yeah. But Avengers.
I can't wait to get that tattoo.
Yeah.
But to answer the question, Avengers.
Yes.
Yeah, there we go.
Avengers.
Cool. It's
Christmas Story 2.
Yeah.
Great. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Okay. Did Daredevil movie rights going back to Marvel Studios a good thing? And if they get it, would Marvel do a gritty, hard-boiled flick?
Okay, so the background on this, the thing that's happening right now, Fox needs to do a Daredevil movie, actually be filming it by October 10th. Otherwise, they lose the rights to Daredevil. Right. There's been a lot of back and forth about it. The most recent thing, Fox brought on director Joe Carnahan, who's done a number of grittier movies, to do a more hard-boiled Frank Miller-esque version of Daredevil. That's the way he referred to
Serpico it. Serpico style.
Yes. And then yesterday, very late in the day, he tweeted, not so vaguely, I don't know if it's going to happen for any red-suited vigilantes. Nobody could do it in that time frame. So it looks like he's not going to do it either, which means potentially Daredevil is, in fact, going to go back to Marvel.
Hey!
Hey!
Ash.
That's yeah, great. It should be good. Here's my idea. I want to see a Marvel Street TV series.
Marvel Knights.
Yeah, Marvel Knights. That's what I want to see. I want to see them. They have Punisher. They don't know what to do with Punisher. They have Daredevil. They're not going to do a Daredevil movie because there's no room for it anytime soon. So take him, take them, take the heroes for hire, stick them together, do a street-level Marvel TV series. It would be awesome.
And Joss Whedon is conscripted to work with Marvel until... Not only for ABC, but also his contract ends up in 2015.
Well, hey, he's busy. Yeah. Let's not make him more busy.
He's already got a TV show.
Focus on Avengers.
Pete did this last week. Pete's really worried about Joss Whedon's
time
frame.
Pete is Joss Whedon's assistant and manages his schedule.
You know, he was able to run three TV shows simultaneously.
Yeah, but...
But, I mean, like, at what cost, you know?
Exactly.
Like, just, like, let him have a break. You know what I mean? Just let him, like, have his time.
No, I want him to work until he dies.
I just finished the, I'm late to the game, but the first volume of the Mark Waid run on Daredevil.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah,
I would love to see, I love the gritty, I love it, but I think it'd be super fun to have daring do, little swashbuckles.
Devil May Care attitude.
Yep. I would love it. I think that would be really fun.
I want to see a dark, dark take on Daredevil where every single episode a new girlfriend dies.
But I would totally watch a Mark Waid. And actually, even before Mark Waid did his take, you know, you had the Wally Wood stuff. But you also had Carl Kiesel and Carrie Nord and Gene Colan doing a more happy-go-lucky kind of run. And I think that's kind of nice. It's more like cocky, self-assured, I'm not Daredevil. Come on, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Kind of.
That might be kind of fun. I actually, at San Diego, I saw the Arrow pilot. That is, like, there's a couple of jokes in it, but it's mostly like, I'm a really gritty Avenger who's shooting people to death with arrows.
Right.
And it's not fun. It's no fun to watch. I would like to see... it was kind of the same thing with Smallville. It was so angsty and so, I don't want to be a Superman the entire time. It would be fun to see somebody who's like, I like being a superhero.
And, and with like even, and sorry for anyone I've offended, but even like coming out of The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises, it's a really oppressive, those are oppressive films, you know? So
amazing oppressive films.
Yeah, but still, they're really oppressive. And I remember watching the old...
I think the word you were looking for is impressive.
Impressive. Yeah, like infamous.
Like really good. Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Infamous?
Yeah. Sure, that's not right. What
like,
I meant.
It's like an impressive regime.
Right, like Syria has a very impressive regime.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yes. So actually, in watching The Dark Knight or Dark Knight Rises, I felt, wow, this is kind of like being in war with Syria.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
All of the people here are impressed.
So it'd be nice to do something. I'm not saying to the level of the Adam West Batman stuff, but certainly, you know, a little bit lighter, you know, and friendlier and fun, like superhero comics used to be back when Pete was...
Around?
Yeah. Around.
Before I came on the scene.
Yeah, before you hatched.
Yeah.
Cool. Pre-1987. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Which unknown Marvel character should have an animated series?
Unknown?
That's what it says.
Oh, no. The Adventures of Squirrel Girl.
I was thinking that, too.
That'd be really fun.
She already has a web series, though. I don't think that's
true.
I say Stingray.
Stingray?
Wow.
Yeah? No. What would the Stingray animated TV series be like? Would every episode be like, I'm not Namor the Submariner, so...
No, I think what's really interesting is taking the science of what he has that Namor doesn't is like the science background. So you could do it like a CSI sort of really great in-depth. Sort of like
Who's killing all these fish?
Oh, fishermen. Okay. Solved.
I like marine biology. So I think that
you're going to be like, I see what's going on here.
But it's
We're on the same page.
Yep.
That was incredible.
I think they should wave goodbye.
But can we do just that for the rest of the show?
Yeah, sure. I'm down for it.
Something sounds fishy to me.
Yeah!
All right. Raise your hand. Oh, do you have an idea?
Is it
a funny wordplay thing?
I'm way too hungover to think of the character, though.
Are you going to say Saturday Morning Punisher Adventures?
No. We all think that's going to be amazing.
X-23.
A comic book by DC keeps getting canceled, which is upsetting.
Sorry,
really
I'm sorry.
Good.
You would Marvel. Like DC to do a Marvel animated show?
Yes. Yes. How amazing would that be? Think about it.
DC announces.
That would be brilliant.
DC announces, we give up.
Yep. Here, Marvel, take it. Just take it. You'll do better with it. You'll do better with what we
Dan DiDio forced to drag stack of comics naked through Times Square.
Oh,
wow,
poor Dan
DiDio. Seems a little much.
Well, that's what we're
doing. Animated?
What?
That's a really long title. It's an animated feature.
No, that's a New York title.
Looks like this was a drag.
Yeah!
What were you actually going to say, Pete?
Nothing.
Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. All right. Let's get the last question.
All right. This might segue into our next section.
Perhaps.
Your favorite Joe Kubert comic.
Yes. For those of you who don't know, unfortunately, Joe Kubert, industry legend, passed away this week. I was lucky enough, I think it was me and Justin a couple of years ago, interviewed Joe Kubert and Andy Kubert and Adam Kubert for Newsarama when we were doing New York Comic Con. It was a pleasure. That was the only time I met him in person, but he was fantastic. It was a fantastic experience. We've had a lot of people from the Kubert Show, Kubert School on the show, and he has been so incredibly influential to so many people over the years. The comic industry would not be the same without him, so... His
and
memory,
the fact that they, you know, opened a school to give back and, you know, just like really fantastic.
His memory is going to live on for a very long time past him. If you're listening at home or you're sitting in the audience and you've never read Joe Kubert comic, please do, because it's a pleasure. He's one of the best artists and one of the best people the comic book industry has ever seen. Do you guys have... David, I know you're very into classic comics.
I am into classic comics. I really love his run on Hawkman, which I think is absolutely breathtaking in terms of the scope of and the might and majesty that they give Hawkman, is especially as a like a pulpy character. But I think that and Enemy Ace really sort of drive home sort of the importance of the pulp roots that we're pulling from, and Tor, which was his creator-owned project for DC, which I think is you know, anytime a creator does creator-owned stuff, I give that, you know, a much more thorough examination. So I love that stuff. I think it's, again, pulls in influences from Hal Foster and from Will Eisner, and it's just really breathtaking stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you love Tor, right?
Yeah, it was really good. Big fan. I also was kind of, I was younger, you know, when he was, you know, when I really got stuff, and it was just always great when you saw him on bigger titles, because, you know, it said something on the cover, and that always jumped out as a kid at me, you know, like, oh, what's this going on? So it just, I didn't realize how amazing it was that he was doing that, but like, he just... Like, the fact that the comic made a big deal of it was also pretty cool.
Yeah. So, definitely, if you never read a Joe Kubert comic, go out and read one, and his memory and his work will live far beyond him.
I thought you were going to say, live the fuck on.
That's, yeah. Cool. That's it for your audience questions. Thank you, Pete. If you ask that question, raise your hand. Pete's going to bring you.
That was lightning round.
Oh,
that was the lightning round.
That was the lightning round. Never mind. All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek. Yeah. With the Week in Geek, we're going to talk about some geek culture topics, things happening elsewhere in the world of geek. Yes, just
you
cut
like that
off.
I like
that
a lot.
No, you do? Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
It's right at the.
I thought it was going to be more like. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, yeah, you haven't been on the show in a while.
No,
we don't do that anymore. I'm sorry. That's rights.
Yeah, rights issues.
Right. Yeah, you can't actually do any more than that or we'd get sued.
That's actually just me whistling.
Yeah. Amazing whistle. All right, first thing we're going to talk about, this is a crazy rumor that came out today.
Crazy.
This is a crazy rumor.
Crazy.
The rumor is there may be a Walking Dead movie that's in the works.
Ooh.
And the question is whether there was a Walking Dead movie in the works before the TV show. The current rumor is that potentially it would be a movie that would continue the TV show in some way. So would you want to see that? Would you? And if so, what would you want to see from a Walking Dead movie?
Is Tony Moore involved?
Yikes.
Wow, right out of the box, dude. Right out of the box.
Yeah, he's filming it in his backyard.
Yeah. Angrily.
Yes. What do you guys think? Would you want to see a Walking Dead movie?
My first response is no.
Yeah.
Because the TV series is so amazing.
I think the fun of it is that it doesn't, like, that's the whole
point.
Because
the comic is so long and it goes on for so, that like 2 hours, what could you do?
It would be a zombie movie.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Like, I mean, they'd have to end it somehow.
Right.
I don't know.
Would they?
They just run. Yeah.
No, well, I would say if it's anything like X-Files Fight the Future, it'd be great. What?
Wow.
Yeah, I have a lot of weird
you
bees.
Beat me to the what?
It's funny because I was actually thinking about the X-Files Fight the Future movie,
right.
And I was thinking about how, yeah, you could do a, like sort of a sub-story about these characters in this setting that maybe doesn't necessarily fit on AMC.
Okay, I get that. I just think it would have to be a big story, right? Like, because it's a movie. And I don't know. I'm happy if they have, like, zombie puns, if they pun it up big time. No, I don't know. I just think, like, what I thought was cool about the book and what he said was, like, it's like a zombie movie that never ends.
Right.
And so that's what's cool about it. And I just feel like it would kind of betray.
This is the zombie movie that doesn't end.
Yeah.
I just hope they go to the CDC.
Right.
No, I'm just kidding.
What's going on with the CDC? That's the name of the movie.
Yeah.
I think
what up?
Walking would Dead take be... Manhattan. No, they just go to Manhattan.
Oh, my God. Like a musical.
Yeah,
I would watch
right.
a Walking
yeah,
Dead musical.
Totally.
Yeah. The musical it's, Dead.
It would have to be something. It would have to be something standalone, right?
Yeah.
Something. And the only storyline I can think of is the governor storyline, and they're doing that in the
yeah,
upcoming
right.
season.
That would be
Or
would
they
be
could
sweet.
Do this.
Yeah.
Maybe this last story. Depending on how it ends.
Yeah. Or if it was just a solo movie focusing on Laurie from the TV show, that would be great. Just her wandering out being like, where's my son?
Yeah.
For two solid hours. And then yelling at everybody.
Yeah.
It's actually, it's just a point of view movie.
You know, it would be really nice if they just cured the zombie virus.
All right.
Brought in,
oh, yeah.
Brought in werewolves, vampires, ghosts.
Yeah.
Spooky ghosts.
Yeah. The spooky dead.
The spooky dead.
These are all great ideas. Let's move on with the next topic we're going to talk about. NBC is developing a TV series called Hench that focuses on a supervillain henchman. And we don't really know too much about it at this point, but it's basically a guy who, to make some extra money, starts working for a variety of different supervillains. Yes.
This is based on the Adam Beachin graphic
right.
novel.
It is.
By, Astronauts in Trouble / Planet Lar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I, if it is anything like the graphic novel, which if you haven't read, you should go out and read. Pretty fantastic.
It's going to have some stimp competition against Grimm.
Yeah.
10 o'clock on Mondays.
Well, I think just,
on NBC. I don't know.
Thank you. We're going to get
Can we
so
stop
much money
for the show.
Stop
it's plugging
no Grimm. Longer.
Grimm
story time is
on
over.
Sundays on NBC.
Gosh. Well, I think that, you know, NBC is eventually just moving to one word titles, Community. Parks
Grimm.
And Rec. I mean, no, that's
well,
not.
Well,
I mean,
you're a writer? You were saying you're a writer?
Yeah.
Cool. All right, that's it for the week, Geeky.
Yeah.
Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LaPaige.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ladies
and gents. This is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like a chance to win $25 free? First hand up, guy. Sorry, sir. You're a little slow. No, it has nothing to do with that.
Sorry, sir. You're a little bald.
All right. So, what is your name, sir?
I'm Jerry. Hello?
Jerry. Audience,
Aloha.
Jerry. Jerry, how do you feel about the fact that he's very upset at you and bald that you beat him to this? Are you okay with that?
Sorry, sir.
Yeah.
Sorry.
There you go.
Sorry.
All right. So, today's trivia is on the only living boy. Mm-hmm. Which I hope you were paying attention to, because otherwise you won't get any of these right, and we'll have to give it to the bald guy. All right.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
So how this works is I read you the question, listen to all three possible answers, get all three right, and you win $25. Here we go. Question number one. Thank you, Boothman. What is the name of the 12-year-old boy who is in this story? Is it A, Steve Jones, B, Eric Farrell, or is it C, Ronald Reagan? So it's either A, don't pick A, or it's B, Eric.
It's B?
B is correct.
Yeah. Woo! It'd be cool if it was C.
All right. Question number two. The boy falls asleep where and wakes up in a whole nother world? Is it A, Central Park? B, his bed? Or C, face down in a pool of his own vomit and feces? So it's either A, Central Park, which is correct, or B, his bed.
Central Park?
Yeah!
Woo!
Nice job.
Meat,
C was
meat,
only if he was hanging out with me. Yeah. I did that last night. Okay. Here we go. Last question. Who is Morgan? Is it A, a warrior mermaid, B, a warrior starfish, or C, Lieutenant Dan? It's either A warrior mermaid, which is the only one that really makes sense because the warrior
is
starfish.
A?
That would be, yes, A is correct.
Starfish.
Yeah. You win $25 free Congratulations.
Congrats, sir. Pound it.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Good job. Fist bumps.
Oh, God.
Oh,
oh,
Pete.
Oh.
Come on, Pete.
Come on.
Hey, if you guys want to pass that around, you certainly can. Yeah, there we go. So, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book
Day.
We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Well, since Justin's not here, I'm going to go two picks.
What?
Whoa! Yeah.
What?
You killed him. You take his pick.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you kill somebody, you take
like
their
Highlander.
Energy.
Highlander.
Yeah.
Take we all thought of Highlander
so
simultaneously.
I'll be Justin. Young man, I'm kind of a schoolgirl and annoying.
Nailed it.
Wonder Woman. I think Wonder Woman's amazing. I really love
this
series.
Wait, do you think Wonder Woman is amazing, or does your ridiculous parody of Justin think Wonder Woman is amazing?
Both.
Oh, okay.
And then I'll pick Hellblazer.
All right, very cool. I'm looking forward to Daredevil number 17 is coming out tomorrow. Yep. Mark Waid's writing it. Mike Allred is doing the art. Cannot wait. I'm so excited for that. The regular artistic team on Daredevil is usually fantastic. Nothing against them, but Mike Allred on Daredevil with the tone that we were talking about.
I can't wait to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, very excited.
Is Daredevil going to be wearing Allred? You know, aside from Daredevil, which I think is an excellent book, Avengers Academy 35 comes out, mm-hmm. and that is my favorite Marvel book currently on the stands. Wow. It's about a bunch of teenage Avenger wannabes in training who are all like sort of right now in the middle of this, find themselves in the middle of this X-Men Avengers war. And, you know, it's about growing up and learning the challenges of being, you know, different. The last couple of issues have been really, like, heart-wrenchingly good. Like, so I can't say enough great things about this team and, you know, Christos Gage, who writes
Gage.
It.
Yeah.
And Bill Roseman, who edits it. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, they're in the middle of a storyline called Final Exam, which may, in fact, end the title in a way, or at least end the current iteration of it.
Yeah.
It's been really excellent. Great
it's
time
been an amazing
to pick it up.
Series.
Yeah, and the other thing I wanted to mention, we were talking about the Joss Whedon TV series earlier. Best idea I heard was to do an Avengers Academy series,
gosh,
that'd
be so
which would be fantastic.
Good.
That way you don't have to use the Avengers.
Yes.
You potentially can have cameos.
Brilliant.
Bring in some new characters. Have them cameo.
So simple. It's been right there the whole time.
Better than Marvel. Better than Marvel Knights TV show.
Right? It would be great. Yeah. All right. And David, plug some of your stuff.
So I've got The Only Living Boy, which is you know, available now on Comixology. And tomorrow I have a signing in Brooklyn for The Only Living Boy where you can pick up a copy, hard copy of the book at Lark Cafe, which is in Ditmas Park. It's larkcafe.com. So it's really exciting. So, and then, check it out.
All right, cool. Winston, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Daredevil. I love it. I think it's great. So, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Cool. And plug some of your stuff. What should people check out?
I perform over at UCB Theater, 10th. Yeah, good stuff. 10:30 on Saturday nights with a team called Grandma's Ashes. And I'm in it. Yeah. It's fun and
improv team names.
I'm actually in a show at the Fringe Festival called Evening with Kirk Douglas. And he dies in the first act of the show. So we're doing that.
It's an early evening.
Saturday. Man. Yeah. He dies in the first 15 minutes, then we wave goodbye. And we're just like, experimental theater, bitch! Get out! But it's on Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, Monday afternoon, and like Wednesday night. So check it out on we have like a website on Fringe. So check it out if you want to come see it.
This is the Fringe Theater?
Yeah, Fringe Festival, New York Fringe Festival.
Whole festival dedicated to a TV show.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's cool. There's
amazing.
Actually two of them going on at the same time.
Yeah.
It's a reference. Thank you, David, for laughing at that. All right. Next week on the show, a couple of things before we leave. I'm pretty excited about what we're doing next week. Yes, I am. I'm excited about this week, but I'm excited about next week too. We have a guy named Burke O'Halloran, who is from a place called Iconic Wine, and also Stephen Morgan, who is the sommelier for Tribeca Grill, are going to be here. And they're for you, those of you who don't know Iconic Wine, they're a very small wine distributor, but they get comic book artists to do the labels.
What?
People like
we're
Ming Doyle.
We're going to get drunk next week.
Whatnot.
Come on down.
We are going to have a free preview wine tasting of their newest release, Secret Ingredient 2012, for everyone in the audience.
That's going to get crazy.
So what's in it?
Secret Ingredient.
Kryptonite.
Anyway, it's great. If you want some free wine, come on down to
the show.
Down. Pete, what should people check out?
They should friend us on Facebook so we hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Yep. Check us out on Twitter at Comic Book Live. Also, website comicbookclublive.com and the podcast on nerdist.com. You can check out more information there as well. Couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank David for being on the show. Winston. Boothman. Thank you guys for every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. in Fontana's in New York. Tell your friends, good night.